Chapter 157, The Festive Spoon. Suddenly, Christmas is upon us, sneaks up from behind when nobody is looking, or else nobody wants to see it coming. But what harm can Christmas do when days are at their shortest, nights at their longest and darkest? A flicker of false cheer there and here. Why not? What harm in that? Candles and cards and trivial jingles, glowing stars, strings of Christmas lights tangled in phony trees, blinking. Being on the cusp of festive days, I wander down Brick Lane, in search of a gift of some kind to send home, a token, a souvenir, a reminder, to let my family know that I think of them. Occasionally, I do, leaving as I did, without a word, as if driven by whim to a faraway place, on some urgent and cryptic quest. Perhaps it left them wondering. Perhaps mother, father, brothers and sisters stacked up in their bunks like sardines. Lucy, Ruth, Sam, Raymond and Rowan, Simon and little May. Not quite so little now, undoubtedly. Yes, I just went away. No harm or disappointment intended, however inevitable. The offspring spread their wings, spring from the nest, don't necessarily look where they are going. So, in search of a gift, I am. A little something to send home. Something small it will have to be, useful perhaps, or even useless, but evocative in some way, to remind them of me. Remember me as I walked out the door, or better still, remember me sitting in a kitchen chair, in shorts as mother cuts my hair, some summer day. Sheet thrown around my shoulders, currawongs warbling in the midday heat. And we joke about the spoon, my mother and I, the spoon that was accidentally baked inside the rice pudding. Then, like Excalibur, it emerged from the lake it had been thrown into, as the pudding was served. But rather than a sword, it's a spoon. Plenty of discarded cutlery round here, in Brick Lane. Boxes of the unloved, the unwanted. Some just tossed across the ground, carelessly. I shall find a suitable spoon to send them, to revive a family moment, a joke. Just look at all this junk, all damaged and damned. Out of place and out of time. Curious, though, wandering down Brick Lane. It's a museum of sorts, of life as we know it, or knew it. Much of it short-lived and already obsolete. Slide rules and flash cubes. Tongue-tied answering machines. Torches with batteries weeping. You end up talking to yourself like, oh, we used to have one of those. Or, what on earth is that? I mean, just look at it. A tea's made alarm clock. Quirky, weird, esoteric, uncanny, inexplicable. And then I see it. A large serving spoon with some kind of family crest almost still on it. Solid silver, says the man, though it looks more like pewter. We start at 5 pounds, but I get him down to 2, and then just hand him 1, which appears to be enough. I take the spoon home to wrap in brown paper and tie up with string, all the while imagining my family gathered around the table to unwrap it. "Oh, a spoon," they exclaim, and shortly after, my mother retelling the story about the serving spoon found hidden in the rice pudding, like Excalibur. "Oh, a spoon," the priest said. Why he was there, I do not recall. Doing the rounds, I suppose. Drumming up business. They do that, you know. And they're always on the lookout for a table to sit at. I post the spoon and head off for Christmas lunch at a large co-op house in Stoke Newington, with stairs that lead all the way up to the clouds, or at least it seems that way. There's fog hanging there in the stairway, and we're all wearing overcoats and scarves inside, seated at a table made of unhinged doors held up on chairs. They could have removed the doorknobs for a mere practicality. Overlooked already, a bottle has toppled before someone puts an upside-down jug over the knob to keep it out of harm's way. The cooks are all drunk, going on and on about last year's turkey, slipping out of the dish and onto the floor. We all laugh, of course, even though we were not there, looking out of the corner of our eyes in case it should happen again with this year's turkey. Most accidents do happen in the home, you know. Half of the meal is burnt and the other half gone cold. We gobble it up, regardless, as if it were delicious, in our flimsy tissue crowns, for old time's sake. Then plates are stacked in the sink, between layers of gravy, gristle and bones. "Deal with that tomorrow," they say, with an eye on the washing-up roster. The bottle of whiskey runs dry in no time at all, so we decide to go outside for a breath of air and to stretch our legs, to contemplate the significance of it all. The year's end, a new year, just around the bend, ready to be revealed. As we trundle off down the street towards it, like a troop of stray hawkers in frayed jerseys and uncleaned overcoats, down the street we go to wherever the spirit, inspiration, and chance might guide us.